In the name of Jesus, amen. I have a joke that I'd like to tell you involving the parable of the 10 virgins, but I won't tell it because all you'll remember is the joke. Of course, that would make the writing of this sermon easier because after telling the joke, I could just read from the dictionary, and it wouldn't matter because all you'd remember is the joke anyway. That's the problem with jokes and most sermon illustrations. Everyone remembers the story and not the point. But I really want to tell you the joke to ease the tension because this parable's serious business. For being told by Jesus, "I do not know you," is not what you ever want to hear, and especially on the day of judgment. This parable's serious because it points out the fact that not everyone who expects a welcome to the great wedding feast will get one. And that's a scary thought. Not everyone who believes that their place is assured in heaven has it in the bag. Some are going to wake up at heaven's gate and hear the bridegroom say from behind closed doors, "I do not know you." And sadder words could not be heard. So this is no joking matter, so no joke. So who are these 10 virgins who have taken their lamps and gone to meet the bridegroom? They are Christians who are all dressed up for the wedding feast, clothed in the beautiful garments of holy baptism. They are Christians who have waited eagerly for the bridegroom, who have had their lamps lit, and who have fallen asleep, all 10 of them, not just 5, but all 10, fallen asleep, only to be awakened at midnight with the cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." But 5 of them weren't keeping watch very well and couldn't come out because of the light from their lamps were going out. They asked the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." So off they go to buy oil, and while they're gone, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And the 5 foolish virgins missed out on the joy and the feasting and the celebration that they'd fully expected to be in on. And, well, here's the scary part of this parable. Each of us are one or the other. You will be either on the outside knocking or on the inside celebrating. And so Jesus tells us to be watchful. Whatever you do, don't let anything distract you because the bridegroom's coming and he wants us to be ready. The Bible's full of texts on wisdom and foolishness, but it can all be condensed down to this. To be wise is to have faith in Jesus. To be foolish is to put your faith in anything else. No one wants to be foolish. Those 5 virgins who found themselves on the outside didn't wake up at midnight and say to themselves, "I think it'd be a good thing to be foolish tonight." And yet they were, foolishly without faith. And that's because foolishness happens, even to Christians, decked out in the wedding garments of salvation. It happens because foolishness often looks like wisdom, and wisdom often looks like foolishness. Foolishness in the eyes of the world isn't foolishness in the eyes of God, and neither is wisdom in the eyes of God considered to be wisdom in the eyes of the world. And getting caught up by the world, foolishness happens even to Christians. Now, not that we shouldn't be concerned about the things of this world. It's God's world after all, and he's called us to be faithful managers. But foolishness happens when we put our trust in what's not going to help us in the end. Foolishness happens when we get distracted by the bells and whistles of life, distracted enough to lose our bead on the cross. Foolishness happens when Satan and the God-given good blessings of this life slowly douse and put out the light of Christ. Foolishness happens when the importance of Christ and the cross is replaced with anything else. That's what happened to the 5 foolish virgins. They weren't counting on the bridegroom to delay. Their attentions went elsewhere. Their lamps grew cold and their flame went out. On the other hand, the five wise virgins, how foolish they must have looked to the others, all decked out in wedding dresses designed by the late Oscar de la Renta, hair done marvelously, Chanel No. 5 tickling the nose, makeup flawless, nails exquisite, a bouquet in one hand and a gallon of lamp oil in the other. And yet that's how we must look to the world, living out our vocations day after day just like everyone else, yet all the while foolishly, or so it seems, believing God's word, coming to church on the Lord's day, wasting our time calling upon a deity few have ever seen. How foolish we sound calling innocent babies sinners and having them baptized. How foolish we sound saying humanity's not by nature good and loving. How foolish we sound saying bread and wine is Christ himself. How foolish we sound confessing our sins and believing that another sinner in a white robe speaks our sins gone in the stead and by the command of Jesus. How foolish. There are so many other things you could be doing this morning. Disneyland's only 35 minutes away. The beach, only 5. Can you get over this weather? It's snowing elsewhere in this great country, but not here. You could be worshiping on the golf course this morning, or at St. Mattress in the Bedroom Lutheran Church. God doesn't take attendance. You'll be fine. Don't be foolish. And lamps, once filled with oil and bright with the light of faith, grow empty and cold and dark. But when the bridegroom comes, who's foolish then? That day will be for them, as Amos said, a day of darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it. But it need not be. As a pastor friend of mine once said, the world thinks Christians are like foolish Linus in the pumpkin patch of the Peanuts cartoon, waiting for our great pumpkin to come. But that's not what Christians are all about. For in fact, we are not standing around looking into the clouds, waiting for an absent bridegroom to finally come. We are waiting for the reappearing of our hidden bridegroom, who's really been here with us all along. The bridegroom who promised us, "I am with you always." The bridegroom who came and embraced us on the cross, laying down his life for us, becoming one flesh with us and we with him. This bridegroom, our Savior Jesus Christ, has not left us on our own to fend for ourselves as we hope to make it to the wedding feast through a hostile and foolish world. He's with us every step of the way, to keep our lamps filled with the oil of faith, that when he reappears, we won't be surprised. So watch, Jesus says as he ends his parable. This is serious business, no joking matter. But how? Where? Watch for what exactly? Watch for the one who is coming by watching the one who has come. Look for the bridegroom, not in the clouds, but in the manger and on the cross. Fix your eyes on Jesus, where he is present, though hidden for us now, in the preaching of his word, in the proclaiming of his forgiveness, in the washing of his baptism, and in the eating of his supper. And when the bridegroom appears and is no longer hidden, you will see him and be ready, for you will have been watching him by faith all along. Watching for him, not in a pumpkin patch of your own choosing, hoping that you've been sincere enough or whatever enough, but watching in the places of his choosing and knowing that his presence is certain and his promises are true, as certain and true as the empty tomb. In our epistle lesson, Paul told the Thessalonians, Jesus died and rose again, And through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. That fact makes all the difference in the world. Jesus didn't die and rise again for himself. He did it for you. He did it so that your death would be followed by a resurrection to life. He did it so that what once separated us from God separates us no more. He did it so that we may be with him now in his hiddenness and then when he appears. So watch for him here and here and here till he comes to take you home as his bride, to the feast of heaven that has no end, to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, to the marriage feast where death can never part us. Learn all you can about this world. Strive to do your best. Be good stewards of all that God's given you. Work hard at school, wise students. Do your job well, faithful workers. Be good parents and spouses and grandparents, but don't let the wisdom of the world make you foolish. Let the foolishness of Christ make you wise, so that when he appears, you will be ready. Ready to be with him who's been with you all along. In the name of Jesus, amen.